Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jesus 911. Got my partner, Eddie Chavez. Eddie, are you 10-8?
I'm 10-8, man. I'm reporting for duty, sir. A little sick, but I'm here.
Eddie, this weekend was a weekend that makes a lot of us in this country look back, take a step back, and say, okay, what's going on here? What's the solution? What's the problem? What's the answer? And what I mean by that is that, and this is on the heels of last week, by the way. Last week, there was a shooting in Gilroy, California. A gunman shot several people up there in Gilroy. This weekend, there was two other massive shootings. And when I say massive, is more than one or two or three people were shot. Okay, that's what made me my massive. In El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. And of course, a lot of people want to politicize it, and a lot of people want to make it a right versus left issue, which is not. And I just want to come at it from a Catholic perspective. Both of us are retired law enforcement, so we definitely have an opinion, even from a law enforcement perspective, but especially a law enforcement perspective with faith. What's your take on this?
You know, Jess, I wore my unit shirt today just in solidarity with the law enforcement officers that respond to this. A lot of them had emotional responses to what's going on. Many law enforcement people that responded to this, that dealt with the aftermath of it, have never been to something like this. And it affects them. It affects them to the very core. I've been there. I've done that. We're just kind of in solidarity with them. However, I really think, Jess, that there's a couple things that, as a law enforcement, that I want to go over with the people that listen to us. I give them a few pointers here and there about what to look for, what to expect, how to react. Jess, the reality is this. We could get rid of the guns. And to be very honest, Jess, we could get rid of the guns. It would take generations to do so. Mm. And that's not something we can do immediately. We're not going to send police officers to go collect guns. That's the most dangerous thing you could do anywhere. But
Can you imagine cops knocking at doors? Here I am by order of the federal government to take your guns. Can you imagine the violence that would ensue? Can you imagine the cops that would be executed?
Absolutely.
That's nuts.
It is, Jesse. To expect that to happen and to get results is not reasonable. Yeah. So you'd have to implement something over time. And maybe there is something, the president today talked a little bit. I had to drag myself away from the television. He was talking about it, but he talked about mental illness. That's mental health. That's an absolute problem here that we're dealing with. But along with that, Jess, along with the mental health comes what you alluded to, but you didn't say it. It's not right versus wrong. It's right versus wrong. And so it's about evil, Jess. It's about the overtake of evil. And that's what we need to talk about today, because that's what's important. And that's something that it's not being addressed. I think the step toward it is to do something about mental health. That'll shine the light. It'll pass a light over what, how evil takes over us. So I think that's the right direction to go. But it's difficult.
I'll tell you, every night, and I know you do the same thing too, every night for the last couple of years, I pray these prayers called Auxilium Christianorum. And they're prayers of protection to protect me, my family, my house, my marriage from the devil. And I recommend everybody get those prayers and start praying them every day. You can get them for free at auxiliumchristianorum.org and just put them on your iPhone. Or if you have my book, I have them on my book on page 117. But the point that I'm making, there's a prayer there where we ask Mary to blind the demons. Okay. Why do we ask Mary to blind the demons? I'll tell you why. Because the demons are able to blind us. How? I don't know. Ask God when you see him, okay? Hope you get to heaven and you can ask him how that happens. I don't know the mechanics of how a demon blinds us, but I know that he does. They do. Why? It's in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in their case, the god of this world, they're referring to Satan here, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So in some way, shape, or form, God's word, which is the highest authority in my life and in Eddie's life, I mean, that's what the magisterium is called to defend and preserve and explain. The devil's allowed to blind us in some way, shape, or form. So the first thing I would say, all these shooters, Gilroy, El Paso, Dayton, all of these shooters, obviously, they're not in a state of grace. They just came back from Holy Mass, have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have a rosary in their pocket, have a scapular around their neck, have a Bible in their truck. No, these people are living in a state of mortal sin, and they're blinded by the devil. And so it's easy, because every single one of us, from the Pope all the way down to the newborn baby, as you enter planet Earth, you will be tempted by the devil and his demons. That's called ordinary temptation. But if you're a person that stays close to Jesus, we use the term state of grace in Catholicism, you're going to be able to resist this blinding of the devil that he tries to do to every human person, blind us to follow God and blind us to fall into sin. And so if you're not in a state of grace, I would say, Eddie, that these shooters, without knowing who they are and without looking at the state of their soul, because, again, I don't know who they are. I'm 99.99999% sure that all these guys live in mortal sin, number one. So if you live in mortal sin, when you're being tempted by the diabolical, you're powerless to resist. That's the first thing that I would say. Another thing I would say, Eddie, is that the secular progressives in this country have, I don't want to make it right versus left, but I can't help it in this point here. They've kind of brought this problem to us. How? How did the liberal progressives bring this problem to us? Well, I'll tell you how. The liberal progressives have banned prayer in public school. The liberal progressives have banned Bible reading in public schools. The liberal progressives have banned the Ten Commandments in public school. In fact, the Ten Commandments were banned back in 1980. So after 1980, there's no... And by the way, 94% of our Catholic kids go to public school, 94%. Not one Catholic kid in this country after 1980 has ever seen the Ten Commandments posted on his classroom or any classroom, which says, Fifth Commandment, thou shall not kill. So I got seven reasons why this has happened. This is just one of seven. Again, when you start removing God and making society totally secular, there's a vacuum. And what's going to fill the vacuum? I'll tell you what's going to fill the vacuum. Violent movies, violent video games, social media, permissive, liberal, nasty, filthy, violent social media. If you take out prayer, if you take out the Bible, you take out the Ten Commandments, these kids are going to find some way to entertain themselves. And how do they do it? And again, I'm not saying this is a silver bullet. A lot of them are entertained, Eddie, by pornography, violent pornography, in fact, and violent video games where they're the shooters and they go around popping people. Now, can you imagine a young person doing that for 5, 6, 8 hours a day and they don't have sanctifying grace coming into their soul? They don't have a relationship with God or a prayer life? Can you imagine the deformation of conscience that's occurring in that young man?
Jesse, that, you know, you just mentioned it. Even the president said something about video games today. I didn't catch it, all of it, but he mentioned that. That's an issue that needs to be talked about. These are all avenues by which America's youth are being distracted from what's important, Jess. Now, you know, even the most secular form of God, the Pledge of Allegiance, we don't even say that anymore, Jess.
It's optional, I think, right?
It's optional, or it's not done. You try doing that at a football game, you'll be in the newspapers on Monday morning. This is terrible. This is what's happening today. Let me give you an example, Jess, of what these two shooters were at. One shooter, El Paso, was a clear racist, concerned over the influx of Mexican-Americans into mainstream society. Now, one can hold that view. There's no problem. You want to hold that view? That's up to you. The only thing is, any action taken as a result of that, like this shooting, is evil, and it's going to get you to prison, and it'll probably get you to hell, too. The second shooter from Dayton, Ohio. It was clear-cut mental issues. So it seems like it was something where this individual was suspended in high school for having a rape list, a kill list, etc. These people are extremely distracted for what's important in life, Jess. And this is what you're talking about. You're talking about people doing the everyday mechanics of life without influence of God. This is what the issue is.
That's right. And, well, you're listening to Jesus 911. We're talking about the shootings. You know, actually, we're going back all the way. You know, Gilroy last week, this week in El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio. But this is pray for the victims that have died, because they went to their exit interview.
Yeah.
And I hope and pray that they died in a state of grace, that God had mercy on them, in the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal rest grant to all these victims, O Lord, from Gilroy, El Paso, Dayton, Ohio, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls, through the mercy of God, find rest and peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue talking about this. These shootings. What's the cause? We know there's a problem in our country. There's a problem everywhere with violence, but we want to talk about the cause, because we're two retired Catholic cops. So we look at it from a law enforcement perspective, but we also look at it from the Word of God, which for us is our marching orders these days.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're with Jesus 911 this morning with Jesse and Eddie. We'll be back in a few moments. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote. From Mary Danielle Barber is going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle, and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to, or are called to, as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and you can register for this conference or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
10-8, two-man car. Call letters John 3:16. Soul Patrol, giving you some Catholic briefing and intel so you can go out there and evangelize, save souls, and slay error. Put all this stuff in your war bag. We're talking about the mass shootings, you know, going back all the way to last week, Gilroy, California, this week in El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio. A lot of people are saying, guns kill, let's take everybody's guns away. Eddie, just remind people, you know what happened when the government did take guns away? If you remember the movie For Greater Glory, a true account of the Cristeros when they stood up and defended the Catholic Church against the government of Plutarco Caes that went rogue. The way the movie ends, when you read the actual book, I can't remember if it's in the movie, but the way the book ends is that the Cristeros were, the bishops parlayed a deal with Plutarco Caes, and President Caes told the Mexican bishops, hey, if you lay down your weapons, there'll be a truce, there'll be a peace between the government and the Cristeros. Nobody's going to go to jail, no prosecution, no fines. We're just going to call it even, Steven, but they have to lay down their arms. So the Cristeros went to what is the equivalent of the Mexican White House. 5,000 Cristeros stood there with their at port arms with their weapons. Most of them were rifles, long arm rifles. And the bishop said, okay, hey, just let's an act of obedience to the government, and you're all going to be pardoned. They all laid down their weapons, and what happened, Eddie? The federales, they at that moment, they all picked up their rifles. They had them facing down. They picked them up, and they executed 5,000 Cristeros.
That's the expected response from a government like that. And so how can we, based on history, believe that it's going to go differently than what it's been, where it's been in several other countries? And, you know, we're not even talking about Russia and Germany Germany, none of those. That's what we're talking about. So Jess, I think the important thing to do today is to give a couple of pointers to a few of the listeners when it comes to police shootings. What are a couple of tactics to remember in either of these scenarios? So I'm not going to give up any police secrets here. Law enforcement guys, relax. But I want to tell the listeners a little bit about what to do in the event of one of these shootings. So whenever there's a police shooting, you always have to remember two tactics. One is, cover and concealment, both of those things. So number one, cover is a place where incoming rounds will not breach your immediate surrounding area because you're not exposed to the kill zone. So a cover is something that will block incoming rounds. So you remember, if you're in an area where there's a mass shooting, that if you take cover, somewhere where the rounds can't enter. It could be behind a cement berm. It could be an area that's lower than that. So these are some of the things you have
behind
to remember.
The engine block of the car.
Absolutely. That's how we're trained.
Yeah.
And so there's some things to remember. You know, you don't always have to panic. If you keep your thought, your train of thought, you can endure some of these things. And the second thing is concealment. Now, concealment is a place. By putting yourself in an area, your body, your children's body, in an area that it's not readily visible to the shooter because of its integrity. So it's something where you're just not visible to the shooter. That might spare your life. You might miss it. Now, this will shield you, although visually only, from the kill zone. That's the idea, is to exit the kill zone. I saw a picture of a crime scene just here where these people were I think it was the Walmart, but they showed a bunch of the evidence markers over the casings, and right at the opening of the door. So whoever he was, he stood right in the kill zone and began to execute people right there. This is something that you have to get out of the way of the kill zone. These things are things that are in common with a lot of shooters. It's not going to apply every time, but this is something people can remember during these, very, very chaotic times to try to avoid what's happening there.
Good tips, Eddie. Good tips.
Yeah.
I also think, going back to probably the spiritual, I actually think that the reason that we do have these mass shootings, and I'd like to get your take on it, I believe the reason is because more young people, number one, are on psych medication. Number one, more young people are smoking marijuana, either medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. We know the THC levels are off the charts. So what am I saying? I'm saying that more young people are living intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, and couple that in, your brain doesn't fully develop to like between 21 to 22 years old. So you're pumping your brain with psych medication, you know, so prescribed, obviously, because you're saying you're depressed or what have you, or you're pumping your brain with medical or recreational marijuana, and we know the incredible high THC levels. Your brain is not fully formed. You have no faith component. The soul is void of a relationship with God. The intellect is not formed by the word of God. Remember, because all our behavior is governed by our intellect. If your intellect is well formed, your behavior, or what we call, what St. Thomas calls the will, is going to be ordered. Okay, right living. If the intellect is malformed or deformed or uninformed or misinformed, guess what's going to happen? Your will or your behavior is going to be disordered. This is not brain surgery. This is St. Thomas Aquinas back in the 12th century talking to us about human behavior. And this is the problem. Most young people, they're unchurched, Eddie. Let's just be honest. Most young people don't go to church. We got less people going to church right now than at any other time in our country's history. I think 18 to 23% of Catholics attempt to go to Mass on Sunday, okay? That's 4 out of 5 Catholics don't go to Mass on Sunday. So we can objectively say 4 out of 5 Catholics, and that includes youth and teens, and they're not living in a state of grace. Because, hey, let's just be honest. If you miss Holy Mass on Sunday without an excuse, that's a mortal sin. So guess what? Now your soul has no sanctifying grace, no life of God. So guess what? Your intellect is now muddied. Your ability to think rationally or to think good or pure or holy or pious, that's muddy now. You it's like 2 Corinthians 4:4, you're blinded by the devil. And now your will, your behavior is weakened because the intellect and the will is fueled and formed by sanctifying grace. And guess what? That's why the Catholic Church is the one true religion on the planet Earth, because that's the only place you can get sanctifying grace, the life of God. Well, I guess I shouldn't. You could get it from the Orthodox as well. There's a little quibble there, you know, between us and the Orthodox on very, very few things. But you can get sanctifying grace only from the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, nowhere else.
Jesse, you know, Father Crop used to say, grace is received according to the mode of the receiver. When you're highly catechized...
Quote of St. Thomas, by the way.
Okay, that's St. Thomas, though.
Yep.
And the reality is, if you're a high Catholic achiever, you're a well-informed Catholic, then you receive that level of grace. But if you're a low-information Catholic, Jess, and you're a zero, if you're a nun, N-O-N-E, and you're operating in this condition, you don't receive any grace. And the reality is, like you said, these children, Jess, and you mentioned the people going to church, I really think that the demographic of the age bracket we're talking about, these teens, young 20s, are just, they're the ones that are already absent from Catholic churches and other churches as well. So they don't have what you're talking about, that dynamic of running sin through your mind and rejecting it in Jesus' name. They don't have that at all. So what we're dealing with is somebody that's they're devoid of God, and they're just a target for the evil one. They're a target. And then you throw
an easy target.
And so, you know, all you need is some medication, some psych meds, And you have somebody that's just ripe to do your will as a demon. This is what the problem is. And this is what we have to inch toward as we go on, you know, trying to discover these things, discover the reason and the cause, and then the solution for it. We have to examine all of this. Whether or not it's going to happen in this country, I'm not sure, but that's what we have.
Eddie, and I'll tell you, let me just go to this one verse. I just want to throw in the verse of scripture here, the word of God, always going to... our highest source of authority here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, St. Paul writes, the unspiritual man, that means a secular guy, okay? A guy that doesn't have God, okay? Secular, humanist. The unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. In other words, they're stupid to him. When you talk to an unspiritual guy, say, dude, don't you know the 10th commandments, thou shalt not kill? He looks at you like, what are you talking about, dude? Okay? The spiritual things are stupid to an unspiritual man. That's what St. Paul's saying. He says, and he, the unspiritual man, is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, You only understand, like, for example, the Ten Commandments if you're a person of faith. If you're not a person of faith, if somebody says, dude, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat on your wife, they look at you like you're crazy. They look at you like you're a Martian. Hey, dude, what are you talking about, man? I run my own life. It's all about me. I do my own thing. What are you talking? Where are you getting this stuff from? They can't comprehend this stuff, Eddie. So in their mind, when they're picking up their AR-15 after they're watching all these violent video games and they're smoking dope in their basement and they're on psych medications and they're watching pornography for hours and they hear voices in their head, hey, go and pick up an AR-15. Do exactly what you saw in that video game. Do it. Go out there. Shoot. Shoot. Guess what, Eddie? They don't even have the categories to realize that this is wrong because their mind's not formed. They're unspiritual men. The things of God, they can't even understand them. So these evil voices are evil. Because all these shooters, Eddie, a few days later, we'll read the stories and all of them are going to say the same thing. I heard these voices in my head and they were telling me to do this. And so everybody says, oh, okay, you know, these voices in the head, mental illness. Yeah, that's true. Maybe mental illness, but I'll tell you something that I do know. And I know this from psychiatrists that actually help out exorcists. Believing PhD, MD, psychiatrists, they'll say demons attach themselves to mental illness and make it worse. So yeah, I'm not going to deny that some of these people have mental illness as a result of bad living and what have you, but that's just like throwing blood on a shark tank. They attach themselves easier to people that already have this proclivity to think disordered.
Yeah, just, and you know what? The reality is this, you know, you have this happening in society. And that's why I mentioned earlier, just that when you start to shine the light in the right direction, you might not get focused on the problem, which we know is evil influence. But by examining mental health, they will get to know, understand this a little better. And maybe by chance in the future, they'll start to say, well, you know, this individual didn't go to church. The common denominator here is all these guys didn't go to church. There was no formation, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's why I think that one of the answers to this, Jess, is going to be, and I don't know if, you know, law enforcement entities are already doing this or they're experimenting with it. But what I want to do when we come back from the break is just very quickly go into this and see if this might be a place where we could maybe find a solution to mass shootings in the United States
All right,
of America.
Continue. Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Jesus 911. We'll take a break.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people. You know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol Catholic Briefing. We're your team leaders. We're giving you some Catholic spiritual briefing and intel. This is SWAT training, spiritual weapons and tactics. By the way, my new book came out last week from 10. Here it is. You can see it. It's called The Devil in the City of Angels. And Eddie, this weekend I'm going to be over in your neck of the woods, Southern California. So you got your copy coming. I'll be dropping it off at your house personally.
All right.
I'm going over to California for a family reunion. So yeah, you can order the book. You can order from 10 books, or you can order from jesseromero.com. In fact, Eddie's in two of the 15 stories that I share with my encounters with the diabolical. Eddie's in two of the stories. He doesn't even know it. So so we'll probably see you this weekend. Getting back to the shootings, Eddie, here's another point that I'm going to make about this. I'm going to go deep here. I'm going to quote somebody that most people would say, like, what? Who's just quoting? Check this out. I'm going to quote Rush Limbaugh. And I agree with what he said here. Well, I agree a lot of what he says, okay? Truth be told. Here's what he said, Eddie, in an interview on KFI. I mean, he said this. The root of our problems, the root of our cultural rot and decay, the root of our irresponsibility, of economic woes, of violence in our country, why 10-year-olds are shooting each other, why our society is permissive, ornery. This is obvious to me. Abortion is the foundation of all our problems.
Wow.
This is not Mother Teresa saying this or Pope John Paul II. This is Rush Limbaugh. He gets it. He says, how can we eliminate 55 million of our children and not be damaged by it? We need that 55 million people contributing to our society, to paying taxes and more. Guess what, Eddie? Rush Limbaugh sounds like Saint Mother Teresa. Here's what she said. I feel, and she said this in 1994 National Prayer Breakfast in front of the Clintons, okay? She said this. I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Mother Teresa. It's funny. Two people that are, you can probably say, oh, they're polar opposites. I think Rush is Catholic and he's a conservative commentator and one of the greatest saints of the 20th century. They're saying, Eddie, that the root cause is abortion, because what we've done, we've told people, it's like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We've told people, hey, you know what? Human life isn't really that important. If you determine it's not important, you can take a life. So people are connecting the dots. They're saying, if we can take a human life at the beginning, why can't I take him at 18 or 21 if he gives me a dirty look? As they say, if he mad dogs me, what's the difference, baby or 18 or 21? He gave me a dirty look. You know what I'm saying? So what both of them are saying, Eddie, is that we've sold the farm. Once we lose as a nation the sanctity for human life, the genie's out of the bottle.
That's right, Jess. Then anything goes. If there's not a God to control that, then guess what? Anything goes. It's amazing to realize that Rush Limbaugh is a conservative and he agrees with the Catholic Church. Two of them. You know, that tells a lot there. But just real quick before we go on to the next topic, which we really do need to get on with here, is I think that law enforcement has to look into the social media. They have to be able to give to randomly search throughout social media, because that's where these things are coming out before they happen, Jess, is on social media. Somebody will blast some kind of a manifesto or some venue where they think that their cause is being exploited. And so that's what we have to do. We have to run this thing like a task force where people just put detectives into this unit, and their job is to search randomly social media, identify any potential, and then when they get enough evidence, they run to designated district attorneys, designated judges to get search warrants to go do this thing. And it has to be done quickly, just because these things happen very fluidly. I think this is part of the answer. The president said something about it today. He said something about protective orders, about swift response or something like that, protective order. So I think that's the direction we're going to go. And I hope that people are able to identify that some courageous law enforcement, like we know we have listening just to Jesus 911, are out there and able to introduce what we know is part of the problem. That is evil in society. We need to cut the rap music off. We have to cut all this stuff off and go forward with it. But
yeah, violent movies, violent music, yeah. Violent video games. That's a triple threat for young people.
Yes.
Again, especially young people whose mind, whose intellect is not formed by the word of God, who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Violent movies, violent music, violent video games are sheer poison. Here's the last thing that I'll throw into the mix, Eddie. And I like what you said on a practical level. That's good. And here's what the liberals should do that run all social media, because that's who runs it.
Yeah.
And let's just be honest. They should establish these programs, which they're a lot. They know how to do these algorithms, where when somebody posts a manifesto on social media, it should immediately alert law enforcement. Hey, manifesto posted here in, Mission Hills, California. Here's the guy's name. Here's what he said. He's talking about violence. That's the stuff that should be sent to law enforcement immediately through an algorithm, instead of censoring like Ben Shapiro or Dennis Prager and stuff because they have conservative views. That's nuts. Okay, these guys are the good guys. These guys are espousing things that are good. The algorithms that these liberals that run Google and all these empires, they should be searching for manifestos that have verbiage that's violent, and that should immediately be sent to law enforcement.
Yep, that's
right.
That's the answer, Jess. That's the absolute answer. Without that, I mean, think about it. What social media giant is going to come out and say, okay, public, we need to infringe on your rights a little more? They don't have the courage to do that, Jess. It's got to be focused towards the area that's going to help solve the problem. That's going to be part of it. I'm almost sure of it. And that's
here's the last thing I want to mention.
Yes.
Last thing. And here's the real solution, and only Catholics understand this, but not all Catholics. Eddie, the way at the end of the liturgical cycle in the Novus Ordo Mass, we have the last Sunday is called the Feast Day of Christ the King.
Right.
Yeah, that's the, and then the liturgical cycle ends and it starts again. Okay. Christ the King, that there's actually an encyclical that was written. I forget which one of the Pius is, Pope Pius IX or Pope Pius XI. I'd have to go to my shelf here and pick up the encyclical. But he said this, Pope Pius IX or XI, he said that until all individuals accept Jesus Christ as King in their hearts and as nations, we will never get rid of evil. That's Catholic teaching. That's the bullet that'll stop all this nonsense. When every Catholic and every nation says, bends their knee and says, yup, Jesus Christ is my King and he's my country's King and we will follow him, that, Eddie, is going to usher in a time of peace like we've never seen on planet Earth before. But until that happens, as Pope Pius IX or XI, whoever wrote it, until that happens, we're going to continue to experience evil in our society.
That's it, Jess. We'll just end with that. Viva Cristo Rey. That's all we can say.
Yep.
Okay, man, let's get into this other area, Jess, that we're going to talk about today, which was just kind of an introduction, because you were at this training you were at for a whole week, and we want to hear all about it. But this is the first question I'll ask you.
It'll be longer than one show, but we'll just touch it a little bit.
Yeah, today. Yeah. Just hit it here real quick. So here's a question for you. First one. So what are the two models of doing healing, deliverance, and exorcism? Give us an overview of that.
Real quick, Eddie. In the U.S., there's two models. There's the model of more of the charismatic model, which means that there are certain people that have this charism. Of course, the priest is the one that's designated, but in this model, they'll say certain lay people have this charism, or certain priests have this charism along with their ordination. So there's a charismatic model of healing, deliverance, and exorcism, and then there's more of the traditional model of healing, deliverance, and exorcism, and that one holds fast to the Council of Trent, doing the prayers in Latin, and only the priest, whether he has the charism. The charism means a grace, of the Holy Spirit. A priest has that office and that authority by gift of his ordination. So those are the two competing models in the country today. And the new model, most of the people that are following the new model will use their preferred language, the vernacular language, English, Spanish. They'll also use the new model, the new prayer, which is the 1998 prayers of exorcism, which they've been redacted. There's effective. Less of a punch. They're more redacted from the old rite. The old rite uses a lot of military language. It's in Latin.
This is Mary Danielle Barber,
scripture.
And I would like to invite you to join us here
in our radio program
at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina.
Who's that?
For a true
I think
femininity,
that's Mary.
Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7th, 2019.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mary. So those are the two models, Eddie. You got more the modern model, which is based after the 1998 rite, and then the traditional model, which is based on the rite that comes from the Council of Trent, which they hold fast to the Latin.
Jess, which of those two models do you think are being used more prevalently right now in the United States?
I think the English model, because most Catholic priests aren't trained in Latin any longer, and so just by default, they're going to use the newer model because they're more comfortable in their own language. And though the newer model, they'll admit the prayers are a lot shorter. They're a lot less. There's less imprecatory prayers, much less imprecatory. In fact, it's almost all deprecatory. And a priest has the power to pray imprecatory prayers over the diabolical. The old model is top heavy on imprecatory prayers. I command you, give me your name. The new model is top-heavy on deprecatory prayers.
A little weaker, that's what I would say, but Jess is not saying that. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus 911. Yep. Okay, we're going to keep talking to the break here, I guess.
All right. Well,
are you there?
Well, yeah, I'm here, Danny.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll continue.
Until Richard says stop.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to go to the second question, Jess. Here's that question. What's the difference between the old school way of exorcism and the new way that you learned just this week?
Again, the old school way, Eddie, it relies more on the prayers of the church that have been tried and tested for centuries. In other words, it's not based on the charismatic personality of the priest. It's not based on the it's not based on the priest. It's based on the prayers of the church. That's where the power comes from. The priest in the person of Christ, in persona Christi, all he has to do is follow the rite and say the prayers as they are. He doesn't have to add anything. There's no need for any spontaneous prayers or any other, any other machinations or gyrations. The prayers themselves are an AR-15. They are powerful and they drive out the diabolical versus the new rite. You'll find again, demons are able to withstand a lot more the prayers that are said in the vernacular. They're not as effective because prayers are meant to torture the demons. It's meant to injure them. It's meant to wound them. And the prayers that wound them more, faster, deeper, more pronounced are the prayers in Latin. They have they have an aversion to the Latin language because they know that's the sacred language of the church. And there's a lot of power just in that language.
Okay. And that makes sense, Jess. The language has much to do with what we're talking about here. It has to do with, like you said, the power of the prayers. And when you give the demons a wiggle room here, because people have already opened the door, they're already exposing themselves to the ritual, then you have to use those things which are more precise, more effective. And it seems like the Latin is more direct and more effective. That makes sense.
Eddie, I talked to about 15 exorcists during the week from different dioceses. Young guys, young. They were under 40 years old. All of them told me that Latin was much, much more powerful. All of them.
Wow. Okay, I think we're going to break. No break. Okay, we're going to keep going, Jess. So what's the reason that this new model works so well and is so effective, just besides the language, and obviously the intent of the language to injure the demons, etc.? Is there something else that that might work that make it so effective besides the language?
Yeah, I'll tell you why this the old model it's a lot more powerful, because there's a protocol in the old rite before the priest would even entertain the idea of an exorcism. In the new model, Eddie, it's been redacted. You'll have a person that says, okay, I'm spiritually afflicted, I'm demonized. They'll go and see the priest. The priest will refer them to a lay person to do the intake, to evaluate. They may have papers where they've already gone to a psychologist and psychiatrist, and they've got a clean bill of health. They're saying there's no mental illness here. We have no idea why this person is tormented mentally, why he has nightmares, why he sees shadows. So a designated layperson from the priest will do the intake, fill it out. And then most priests, they're pretty busy. So they'll just, with all the other things that they have going on, they'll say, okay, I'm reading this report. I'll meet with the person. Maybe they'll do what's called a diagnostic prayer. They meet with the person one time, they'll lay hands over them. And by the way, only a priest can lay hands on somebody, and we'll talk about that. And maybe you may put a blessed object, a relic on them, and they'll start manifesting. The word manifesting means the demon shows himself. That's what manifest means. The demon shows himself through the body. So the priest, with a diagnostic prayer, he'll say, okay, all right, let's set this person up and let's start praying for him. So it starts. That's the old model. And sometimes it takes months and months and months and years and years. And why is that? And I'll tell you why. Because they're praying over somebody who's in mortal sin. So the demon doesn't ever have to leave. But the priest is so busy, you know, being a parish priest, he doesn't have time to, hey, have you been to confession? Or, you know, he doesn't have time. He just, oh, okay, I'm assigned to go pray over the person right now. It's the third session. Let me pray over him. Now, let me tell you the difference between the model that Father Ripperger and all his team of exorcists use. In fact, there's an order of priest exorcists. They're called SMD. Societas Matris Dolorisissima, which is Mother of Our Lady of Sorrows. It's an order of priests, and all they do is exorcism. That's all they do. Get up in the morning, Vespers, do all their prayers throughout the day, Latin Mass. There's the Latin Mass community only. Spiritual direction, and then just exorcisms from Monday through Friday of people that fly in all over the country. They're the ones that wrote the prayer that of Auxilium Christianorum. They're the ones that wrote those prayers. Now, and all the hard cases in the country are sent to them. Because again, a lot of exorcists in the diocese, Eddie, they're parish pastors here in Phoenix. They're busy.
Right.
They got 5,000 people. And I said, oh, hey, Father, by the way, we have somebody that may be possessed. You know, can you interview him? We got an intake here. He says he went to the psychiatrist and they said they found a clean bill of health. Okay. We'll set it up for next month as Father's busy, you know, doing confirmation. Priest is busy. Right. Exorcism is just a small little part of what he does if he's assigned by the bishop. Okay. And so Father's team, what they do, Eddie, is they'll take the patient, the victim, and they put them on a hardcore diet of prayer for 30 days. And a layperson is assigned to call them up every couple of days. And he, in a nutshell, Eddie, it's hardcore. It's 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. And Father Rick Ripperger says those are the times to pray that are most effective, because that's when most people around the world in the Catholic Church are praying. So your prayers are more powerful because they're united to millions of people, because that's the time that they pray in monasteries and convents and cloisters. So they have to do the Angelus, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. They have to do the Auxilium Christianorum three times a day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. They have to do pray Psalm 139. They have to do an act of contrition. They have to read. He puts them on a 30-day fast. They cannot watch any social media, radio, or television. The only thing Father Ripperger allows them to hear is Gregorian chant day and night for 30 days. No TV, no Fox News, Jesse. You know, nothing. No social media, no internet. 30-day fast. Then he has them. All they can do is read. The only reading that they're allowed to do is the daily mass readings. As often as you want, okay? You can read the order of the mass, introductory rite, the readings, Eucharistic right. Sacrifice. Sure. You can read the whole mass all day, as much as you want. That's all you can read for 30 days. And the rosary at night. Eddie, about a dozen of these exorcists told me, Jess, when people follow this protocol, 90% of the cases are cleared up. 90. And guess what? Father Ripperger says, when people follow my protocol, and if they are still possessed, and then he sees them, you know what he says, Eddie? He has an 100% rate of curing them with a solemn exorcism once they've completed the 30-day protocol. 100% rate. No recidivism in 15 years.
Wow, Jeff.
Or he says, in the old way, he says, you have these exorcists around the country. They're praying over the same people every six
months. Years.
Every year. For years. You know what he says? He says, because, number one, he's not criticizing them. He says, they're too busy. He says, they're praying over people that are in mortal sin. Yes. The person will come over to get prayed, and Father will just say, you know, he's busy. He's busy running around 20 things in his head as a pastor. And he says, okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, okay. You've been going to mass? Yeah, Father, yeah, you've been going to, yeah. Okay, let's start. And he says, they're praying over people, A, that don't have a prayer life, Eddie. B, they're still in mortal sin. Many of them have not made a good confession. And this is why they pray over them for weeks, months, and even years. Because they don't prepare the soul. Father says, by the time I get them, he says, I've removed every block, everything that blocks sanctifying grace, I've removed it with this 30-day protocol. I've taught them how to become prayer warriors and take control over themselves. And then he says, I show them how to change their life. He says, because you'll find most people that are possessed, he says, they have disordered lifestyles. They get up late. They don't do their bed. They don't, you know, they don't comb their hair till 12 noon. You know, they're always losing jobs. Their life is undisciplined and disordered. So Father Ripperger says, it takes 30 to 60 days for me to get them to rightly order their life. Get up, do your bread, brush your teeth. Don't eat junk food. Don't eat snacks. Hardcore life of prayer, hardcore exercise, Gregorian chant all day, media fast. He says, by the time I get them, their soul, if they're still afflicted with the diabolical, their soul is just open to all the sanctifying grace that they've been receiving. He goes, I'm able to take it out from about 1 to 5 sessions forever.
That's amazing, Jess. And, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if he measured it, but I would pose this question. Of all the people that come to you that you suggest this regimen to, what percentage of the people successfully completed? Because in my experience, Jess, it's very difficult to complete that.
That's where the layperson comes in. He's got a team.
Yes.
And they're calling him up. They say, hey, Mary, this is day 7. How's everything? I missed my Angelus yesterday, but I did everything else. Okay, go back to day 1.
Start over
again. Call up Mary on day 14. Mary, how's everything? Oh, I'm sorry, but I watched TV today and okay, go back to day 1.
Yep.
Mother Ripperger's Institute is hardcore. It's a military boot camp, hardcore. It's the hardest thing I'll ever put a human soul through.
Yeah.
He says, but it's 100% effective. And so, my brain was just popping, seeing, wow, how biblical and Thomistic his approach is.
Yeah, just because you and I both know, you know, where we were at before when we were together, the
old
place,
model.
Dude,
old model.
There was, that's old model. However, the priest was busy. I mean,
Most of them are really busy.
How many
Father
people?
Gary Thomas, they're most busy, Eddie.
Yeah, and you know, we had six team members. I mean, come on, Jess. I mean, how long can you endure with that amount of backup when you're in this kind of ministry? It's very, very difficult. Okay, good. Good deal. Let's see. What do we have? Well, we're almost at the end here, Jess. We can get into the
next.
Let's
pray St. Michael, Eddie. Let's pray St. Michael.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Go ahead. Lead it.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Bear defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin and destruction of souls. Amen.
Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, you evil spirits. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered you. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. And yes. We'll pick up on this. We'll continue this some other fascinating information.
Yeah, I think we could do it again very soon, because we want to hear all the little idiosyncrasies of this ministry. Because if there's a more powerful way to rid ourselves of the devil, especially in today's society, Jess, we need to do it. Things are going to be getting harder as we reach the ultimate victory here, the end of the world, when Jesus comes and helps us. We're going to need more help. It's going to be more difficult. So I suggest we learn that so we can do that more effectively.
Absolutely. And just share it with more people out there.
Yep.
And Father Ripperger says, and his team, they say that 90% of the cases that 90 are cleared up just by people following his protocol. They don't even get to him for the solemn rite. 90%. And he goes, these are hard cases. Because what they've done, he goes, they reoriented their soul.
Yeah.
They removed all the obstacles of sanctifying grace, and now they've ordered their life according to Catholic teaching, their mind, and they've disciplined their life to a life of Catholic prayer. And he says it works phenomenally.
That's our Catholic Church, Jess. That's the power of the sacraments. That's the power of prayer. That's what we have to remember. This is the beauty of the Catholic faith. If you're not there, if you're on your way, don't walk. Run to the Catholic faith. Run to the Catholic faith. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's another Jesus 911 show. Thank you, Jess. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, we'll be waiting for Gary Machuto and Hands on Apologetics shortly. Thank you, guys. God bless. We'll talk to you soon.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.